Hello, everybody. I'm recapping today's Only Vans episode where my friend Michael Kelton met Kyle and I on the RV and his wife, Michaela. You heard that right. Their names are Michael and Michaela. She's one of my dear friends, so I invited her to sit down and be a bonus guest on Michael's podcast. Michael is currently the drummer for established Texas legend Pat Green, who also had a national hit with the song Wave on Wave. But Michael Kelton, I call him Kelton in this podcast sometimes, and I know that's confusing, but that's what I've always called him, does a lot more than just drum for Pat. And I love talking to him about his Sideman Song Swap show, which, to clarify, it's a show where sidemen, such as drummers, guitar players, fiddle players, and even tour managers, showcase their frontman talents alongside Michael. It's very impressive. His wife, Michaela, is a master upcycler and has found a way to take used guitar strings from a bunch of bands, including my band, and turn them into one-of-a-kind jewelry items that we can sell at our merch tables. And some of the profit goes back to a good cause. Their websites are michaelkelton.com and morethanmusiccreations.com if you want to check them out. Oh, and the carbon monoxide alarm goes off at the end of the episode in the RV, and it is loud. Super sorry about that, my deepest apologies, but I'm warning you now in case you're driving. It's also, you know, kind of funny. Enjoy.
Hey there, this is Brie Bagwell with Only Vans, and we all know that vinyls are back, baby. Well, they have been for a long time, actually, and my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing have got you covered. They just finished up a reprint of my vinyls, and they really walk you through the entire process. I picked out a different vinyl color for this run, and they're red and black. Oh my gosh. They offer so many color options, and you can also put in inserts in the vinyl jackets or download cards. They can make your customized vinyl dreams come true. They pay for themselves so quickly, it's insane, and their turnaround time is quite impressive, if I do say so myself. Also, they were at my show the other day, like we're friends in real life. How cool is that? They're a Texas-based independent plant helping artists help themselves. Get your vinyl manufactured in the USA by my friends at Hand Drawn Pressing. You won't regret it. Tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you. Go to handdrawnpressing.com for all the info and check out their awesome content on Instagram. Their handle is at Hand Drawn Records.
If musicians got the pay of a AAA sports team or whatever, or like what if you were just even like an NFL player that doesn't get to play? You're still making a million. Like, that would really help us all out with the people that have babies. Bit. You could have two tour buses. The babies could all have their own tour bus. Like, but it's just like such a sacrifice to go make art.
You know? Totally. And I remember back when I played with Zane, this was before we had a kid, he put out that song While I Was Away.
Oh,
and
no.
That's kind of a tearjerker just for, even if you're not a parent, but, you know, I been playing with Pat so long, and he ended up putting that song out. And so I still hear it all the time, and it's just got extra.
If you have not heard While I Was Away, Zane Williams wrote that song. Pat Green put it out. It is the one of the most well-written songs.
Get ready to cry.
I know.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Welcome to the podcast where we don't offer you a dang thing. You get your own Topo Chicos. There's also whiskey. I'm not partaking, but feel free. This podcast is not sponsored by Diet Coke, but it should be. This is a bonus episode, Kyle, because we got Michaela. She walked up and I was like, oh my gosh.
I snuck somebody in.
Sneak her in. She's my friend too.
I guess.
I call him Kelton, but his name is Michael Kelton. But Kelton was my friend first, and then I got to meet your wife, and now I hang out with your wife more than I hang out with you.
That's very true.
She's awesome.
That happens more often than you'd think.
But she's delightful.
No, I just mean that you've introduced me to a lot of wonderful people in the music industry and elsewhere, and they usually...
That way sounds way better.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Well, you're also on the road all the time.
They adopt me.
Yes, as we do. We are on the road all the time. You play now with Mr. Pat Green. It's been fun to watch your career go like this.
You know, somebody asked me the other day how long it's been, and it hurt to do the math, and it's been 7 years.
With Pat?
Yeah.
No, it has not.
It feels like two or three, but it's, yeah, it's been a long time.
That's what I thought. Like, you've just been there for a little while. Yeah. Oh, no. I don't like that one bit. Because I thought you meant 7 years since we've played together or something, but that was like, no, it's
no,
actually
that
been
takes
like
some
10.
More math.
Yeah. Well, you've filled in for every time that my drummer has left and I've had to audition new drummers. Every time there's a gap, you've played that gap with me.
And I look forward to it every time.
It's so nice. But my mom's like, why don't you call that guy without a shirt? that's not how my mom talks at all. But she's, you have filled in and you were always, for some reason, you were shirtless.
Yeah,
you don't do that anymore.
It's been a hot minute.
Do you still do that?
I think that's for the best, no.
Oh.
No. Luckily for everyone involved.
Well, I remember playing in Las Cruces and it was hot. And I was like, yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, that our mutual friend Mark McKinney, I was playing with him for a long time, mm-hmm. and his manager came out to a show at River Road Ice House, which is, what, like a mile that
Two
way?
2 minutes from here.
And his new girlfriend at the time came out. They've been married for a long time now. But it was just really hot. I never did that. That wasn't a normal thing. It was just extremely hot. And so I played without a shirt, and after the show he comes up, he was like, yeah, Ashley told me that that's what you do now. That's your thing. And I was like, okay. It lasted a while.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, whatever.
So we blame that on Ashley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it Sorry. Is very cool, but you're a really great drummer. Like one of the best drummers that there is. And I hadn't had that many fill-in players ever. And then when you filled in, you kind of ruined it for me for anybody else that came after you. I was like, oh, this fill-in player, he was great. And then it's not always like that.
Well, that's a huge compliment.
And I really want to get into your songwriting, because I remember the first time I even found out that you like played guitar and wrote songs. I was like, what? It's very rare for a drummer to be so great at songwriting.
Oh, well, thank you.
And singing.
I feel like songwriting I've been doing forever, but only really seriously for the last, I don't know, 5 years, something like that. But it's just become one of my kind of favorite things. I love like this listening room, theater kind of situation.
Me too.
And I don't know. I think I tried to do my own thing, like start a band years and years ago. Realized very quickly that was not for me for a number of reasons we don't
it
have
sucks.
To get into.
It sucks. Don't do it. Wouldn't recommend.
So I don't necessarily have any intention of like throwing a band together and hit the road that way, and it's also hard as a side man to try and pull that off. But I love doing it whenever I can.
Yeah, I mean, that's Paul Eason, my boyfriend. We're doing this new thing where we got a bunch of new listeners, and I'll just say Paul, and like everyone's like, who's that? But he had his own band for a long time, and he really loves playing for another band too. And that is so fascinating to me, because I don't think I could do that. Even though this, what I do pretty much kills me every day, and I had a panic attack this morning. I really, like, I wish that I was talented enough to play for another band, just to feel what that would feel like to show up, do a great job, and then get paid and leave. I bet that's really fun sometimes.
It is. They're two very different things, and I love them both for very different reasons.
Yeah. So how did you decide? Michael Kelton does this thing called the Sideman Song Swap, and it's really cool, where he brings in people from other bands. I should let you describe it. Look at me trying to describe your thing. I've seen it a couple times, and apparently now I'm an expert. But
so, yeah, I feel like I've gotten pretty good at the script with the radio and introducing it each time. But pretty much for the last 18 or 19 years, I've been doing the sideman thing, playing drums for a long, long list of people, including Bree.
Yeah.
And along the way, I just met a bunch of great songwriters that also do the sideman thing. And so it's kind of a chance for us to get out and share our original music, as well as all the stories that we've been accumulating from the road.
Right.
And so we do that in listening rooms kind of all across the state. I kind of stepped back from it a little bit this summer, hoping to get back into it early next year. Just kind of need to take some time to step back and kind of recalculate.
Well, it's a lot, because you got to get the guests, and you have to find the venues, and you have to find the sponsors, and you have to advertise the shows. I mean, that's a whole other job for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's the closest I get to being the front man.
Yeah.
Trying to coordinate all that, which I feel is nowhere close. What you guys do is so much. I think people don't realize.
Well, thank you. I needed that validation today. It is so much. You guys have no idea. Even when you have a team, it's very hard because they think there's just one person. Like, it's just me. So I have all these people who can do a bunch of things, but I'm the only person who can do the things that they need me to do.
And then be able to trust all them to do things the way you hope they will be done.
Yeah, I wish I cared less. Like, there's some people who care a lot less than me. I'm like, oh no, you put the apostrophe in the wrong place in y'all, and like, you're gonna get an email about it. And they're like, how did you even see this?
I feel like I'm getting pretty good at caring less lately, for better or for worse.
Good.
I feel like so long you focus on perfection and it's gotta be this, this, and this, and I don't know, I feel like the older I get, it's like, yeah, that's good, I like it, go.
Right, or if I see a video where I have one bad note, I won't post it. And that's really bad because there's probably not going to be a video ever where I don't hit one wrong note. Like, it needs to just go up there, right?
It's been a long road of getting to that place, but I think I'm fine. Like,
well, I've never heard you hit a bad note. I think you're a great singer.
Well, that's very sweet.
And a great storyteller. And I loved the Redbird. I went there twice to see your show. And you had some amazing guests.
Yeah, one of them was this guy, Paul, we were talking about earlier. I know you've met him once or twice. Mm-hmm.
You had Rachel Loy.
Yeah, I had Rachel Loy. I've had a lot of great guests. Has it been 2 years at Redbird? Year and a half?
Yeah.
Something like that. I have to rely on her to keep
October 9th
facts and dates straight.
2 years ago was your release.
See, she knows dates. I don't know days.
It popped up on Facebook.
Like 2 days ago, yeah. Amazing. That's so fun. Yeah, I can't remember anything anymore. I feel like, you know what's weird is I'll remember people from 10 years ago, but I won't remember people from a month ago. It's like I ran out of brain space maybe in 2017, and anything after that.
I think that's all
that,
of us.
Do you feel that way? Do you feel crazy sometimes? Like, I feel like I'm like losing my mind all the time.
Another thing that I feel like you have to do all the time is you meet all these people and have to remember their names. And I've never been good with names, and it's like the worst feeling in the world because you're like, it's not on purpose.
I think the worst thing that you can do to a person at the merch table is say, or to an artist, is say, what's my name? And this guy.
Do you remember that time we hung out 12 years ago?
12 years ago when we were drunk and it was 4 a.m. You don't remember that? You don't remember my name? My name's Steve. Bree, I'm never coming to one of your shows
Steve
again.
It's Steve Powell. That's my name.
Aw, hi, Steve Powell. I wonder if he listens to this podcast. Don't tell him we said this and see if he listens to it.
Oh,
that's so fun. Oh, my gosh. We did meet through our friend Mark McKinney, but now we live in the same town, and now I go to yoga with your wife, and we should probably talk about it because I don't want to forget. Do you want... Okay, now, Michaela, instead of me summarizing what you do, you should summarize what you do so I don't do it wrong.
I'd like to hear Brie give it a try.
Okay, guys, listen. Yeah. So she drinks some wine, she gets out some pliers, and she twisty-turny these guitar strings into these beautiful... That's not...
Well, that's the whole story. What's she going to say now?
I mean, honestly.
No. Do a better job than me.
Well, what was it? 2018 or 19? I started doing guitar string jewelry, and... I feel like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, you know, everyone kind of does that. And it's like, yeah, but it's a little bit different. Because we work with various bands, including Brie, and we take their guitar strings. I listen to their music and get inspired, try and bring in some sort of fashion sense from the artist or, inspiration from their songs and make a collection that is specific to the artist, and then they sell it at their merch tables. So it's a really unique and different kind of merch option instead of just t-shirts and hats like we've had for a long time. The best part is that we recycle strings, so they're not going to the landfill. I get to do something really creative and fun. And then we also give back to a nonprofit out of Central Texas. It's called Kids in a New Groove. And they work with foster kids to do music mentoring and lessons. And they get instruments and things of that nature. So we can give back to the kids in music. So try and do a whole full circle thing.
It is it's amazing. I mean, it could just be for profit recycling the strings, but it's also like giving back to a great cause. But also the jewelry is so well made. Like, we're not talking like when you think of it, you kind of think, oh, this is going to fall apart or something. I have never had anything that you do break, but like, I'm going to show this to camera. It is I mean, it's gorgeous. Mine has turquoise because, of course, and it's very kind of like Aztec Southwest inspired. But when I tell you, like, I texted her the other day, the day we put it out at the merch table, it was gone. Every single piece sold in one day. And so, so for awesome. Us, it also is it makes us money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's beautiful. And if you want to throw up, Paul Eason and I, our first Valentine's Day, he had Michaela make me string earrings and necklace from his strings from our first show together.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was so cute.
It's going to get me. It's going to get me. It's still so cute. And so anyway, it makes a great gift. But you do for Pat Green and Rand, who else do you have?
We have a line with Randy Rogers mm-hmm. and Pat Green, Jade Patek, who's here in town too. And we've got a few people kind of in the mix. Obviously, the Wilder Blue too. And they were actually our very first band. You know, as you know, Michael played with Zane before the Wilder Blue.
Right.
And so we had that great relationship already. And we brought them this idea of like, hey, let's take your strings and do this thing and you can make money and we can give back. And Zane was like, let's do it. And I mean, they go through jewelry so quickly that I almost can't keep up with them, which is awesome.
It's awesome. And well, they all play 12 different kinds of guitars.
Yes, exactly. So, like, so I get so many, yeah. So
Paul
many
has
strings.
A mandolin and then you get bass strings and you get, I mean, yeah it, that's
it's
wild.
So great.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And I just love that. I also want to talk to y'all about your baby.
No.
Tell me what it's like to be a dad and mom with a...
I feel like no matter how you answer that, it's cliche. Like, it's the most fun I've ever had, and I'm also exhausted all the time.
Stressful.
Yeah.
That's not cliche. I think that's real life. If Indeed. You were like... If it was one without the other, it would be cliche.
Yeah. It is a weird point, though. I remember the first time that I was leaving, he's like, Daddy, don't go to work.
Oh, no.
And then right now, he's having some outbursts. And when, yeah, I don't think about it. I'll be home for like 2 weeks straight, and everything goes great. And I'll be gone for 4 or 5 days and not realize that, you know, that's tough on a kiddo. And,
yeah.
He doesn't have the vocabulary to really express that or for us to kind of talk through that. So I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct to garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
Hey, this is Brie Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BrieBagwell.
Has he been to a show?
He's been to a couple. And actually, he's been to a few acoustic shows that I'll do by myself yeah. and gotten a little bit too comfortable. We spent last week in Big Bend.
Stage.
And we went to Starlight Theater for dinner just yes. like randomly, and he just ran up on stage with the dude singing. I was like,
oh no.
He's sorry,
like,
buddy.
This is where I go.
Yeah.
I belong up here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. Oh no, how cute.
Pat shows are a little loud for him though. Like, even with the things, he's like, mm-mm,
too loud.
I don't want to be up here.
Yeah.
It's so loud. So we keep him a little further than just side stage. I think 4th of July he was like, this is awesome, but also no.
Yeah, I mean, it's just definitely interesting because I know so many people who are like, all right, I'm going to be a dad now, and they stop playing, and so, it, which is also totally fine. So it's, but it is interesting to see someone still play with, like, a tiny one. I know Paul did it, too, and he said it was really hard. And then, of course, you know, you think about who you leave to, you're there by yourself with the kiddo, too, mm-hmm. but it's like, art is such a sacrifice for everybody all the time, and that's what makes it art, which is unfortunate. I wish we could just be like, if musicians got the pay of a AAA sports team or whatever, or like what if you were just even like an NFL player that doesn't get to play, you're still making a million. Like, that would really help us all out with the people that have
a little
babies.
Bit.
You could have 2 tour buses. The babies could all have their own tour bus. Like, but it's just like such a sacrifice to go make art. You
know? Totally. And I remember back when I played with Zane, this was before we had a kid, he put out that song While I Was Away.
Oh,
and
no.
That's kind of a tearjerker, just for, even if you're not a parent, but, you know, I been playing with Pat so long, and he ended up putting that song out, and so I still hear it all the time, and it's just got extra.
If you have not heard While I Was Away, Zane Williams wrote that song, Pat Green put it out. It is the one of the most well-written songs.
Get ready to cry.
I know. It's beautiful. It is so beautiful. But wait, do you have a Pat Green cut?
I do. I've got a couple. And they kind of came out of nowhere. It wasn't expected. But actually, I know you've been talking about Steamboat a lot lately.
Yeah.
Steamboat, I think 2019 maybe. We were up there and Pat set aside some time. So we all stayed in like a big vacation rental type house.
Oh, nice.
Instead of doing like the hotel room things. And Pat was like, we're all going to hang out. We're going to spend some family time. We set aside a morning to write as a band. And, you know, Colorado has all sorts of extracurriculars out there.
Sure
and
does.
So that morning, we started four or five songs. We didn't, like, finish a single one. It was kind of like shiny things, you know, moving back and forth. And I had my laptop and was kind of recording things on my phone. So after a while, we gave up kind of for the day. And it was probably a month later that I opened it up. I was like, I'm going to make one coherent song out of this. And it ended up being very personal for Pat. And so it was another, like, 4 months before I even showed it to him because I was really nervous about it. But when I played it for him, he loved it and said, that's going on the next record. I haven't even picked the songs yet, but that's going to be on there.
It was a combination of all the what? I've never heard this story.
So we all sat down together, and like I said, we started a bunch of songs. So there's a bunch of lines, yeah. And then we'd move on to a next idea. And when I went home, I kind of just took bits and pieces and cobbled it together into the song that it became.
Yeah.
So I like to claim that I did all the heavy lifting, but it was definitely a group effort.
That's beautiful. What a fun story.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's what I thought.
So
that's one of them.
All the stuff that came after that was pretty interesting because, like I said, I never had a cut before. It was never a single, but you know how KMBT works. They do their own thing. Mattson heard that song, I guess, and just fell in love with it. So he played it a bunch here in town. So I'd get in my car and be like, oh, that's my song.
Cool.
And so it was super cool for me. The other song, we were in the studio. We had eight songs done, like recorded already. We were done with eight songs, but we wanted 10. And so we started throwing around, you know, I've got this whole idea from blah, 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 and this one we talked about before. And like 3 weeks before that, Pat had sent me this idea, and he said, I want to write this song with you. Here's the idea. And we threw some things back and forth, like via text message. And at some point, he kind of just got slow to responding, so I thought he kind of gave up on the idea,
yeah.
Lost interest. Well, that moment in the studio, we're trying to talk about the next few songs. He's like, hey, play that one we just wrote for everyone. And I was like, the verse and chorus we halfway got through?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay. So someone hands me a guitar, and I play the verse and chorus and finish and look up. And the producer looks up, and he goes, can you have that finished by tomorrow morning? And I was like, I will try. And
oh,
so I stayed up that night,
gosh.
And finished it. It's a song called Echo. And, yeah, it was a long, interesting process.
That's so much fun. I love Pat. I he's always been so kind to me throughout my whole career, but my favorite Pat story was we were in Cozumel, and that was when, I forgot his name. The monitor man, he owned the bar.
Oh, Pinky.
Yes. I was going to say, like, Wooly, or, like, I knew it was something, like, cute. He owned a bar. Apparently, like, Pat had played a show in Cozumel, and he, like, just stayed there and bought a bar and was like, I'm moving to Mexico and I'm going to open this bar. So he still owned this bar at the time, and the cruise that we were playing on stopped in Cozumel, and Pat was like, come with us. So we went with the whole band and we had the best day with Pat at that bar. We were laughing so hard, and then all Pat's band went to the airport and I stayed there at that bar, and then I went to pay my tab, and he said Pat had took care of the whole bar's tab. And
he's
he was
a
like,
sweetheart.
Pat freaking Green just bought the whole bar. Can you imagine? I mean, for me, like, I know Pat and I've been friends with him for a while, so that was cool, but I can't imagine being like a fan and just being there and just like Pat Green just like picked up the tab. Do you have a favorite Pat story? I can't put you on the spot like that. I should have texted
you.
And
there are so many. Every person you ever talk to, like, oh, you work for Pat? I've got a Pat story. Like, everyone you meet.
Like, I just did just now.
I'm sure you do. Well, some of them are a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People have more, I'll call them fun No, yeah. Not as fun, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Man, I'll just, random example. Actually, here's a great story. He's such a sweetheart, and everyone knows his reputation. And when he battles his demons, he usually does it in front of a couple thousand people, so it makes its way around. But he's such a sweetheart. He does things that he has no, you know, he just does out of kindness. And yeah. One of those for most recently was, it was back in March, I think. Pat had given a boutique guitar builder lots of money to build him like a really special, unique acoustic guitar.
Cool.
And it took years for it to be made. And so when it finally showed up, the first show, I remember walking up, we're about to go on, and I look up at the guitar stand, and the one that's missing is a vintage Burst Hummingbird. And he only had that guitar about a year. And the day it showed up, I remember being like, that's like my perfect dream guitar. Like, he normally plays J200s back in the day, but that one showed up, and I was like, "That I love that guitar." Anywho, so this day, I saw the new guitar up there, and the Hummingbird was gone. And I said, "What are you doing with the Hummingbird?" He was like, "I don't know. It's under the bus." And I was like, I'll buy it from you. And he goes, "Have you played it before?" And I was like, "Yeah, 3 or 4 times."
Yeah.
And he's like, "It's yours."
No, he did not.
Gave me a Gibson Hummingbird. He could have, not only could he have sold that, you know, they could have auctioned it off at a thing and made a ton of money and whatever, but he was just like, "Yeah, take it."
That
and
is,
I still don't believe that it's completely mine.
That's incredible. He is such a he called me the day my record came out and was like, "I listened to your record. Congratulations. I love it. You're great." Like, just, my dad was driving me back to Texas from New Mexico, and like, he's like, "Why is Pat Green calling you?" I was like, "I have no idea." Like, hello? And he's like, and it was so nice. He's like, "All right, kid, I'll let you go. Bye. Like, keep on keeping on." It was like the coolest thing anyone's ever. It was so sweet. It was just so nice. He really is a super sweet dude and such a pioneer. And I think that, I mean, as far as watching, I always know that you're a great songwriter and stuff, but I'm always a little buried. We talk about that all the time, but whenever I get the chance to go to your Redbird shows, and I'm reminded of what a great songwriter you are. And I think, you know, you've been surrounded by all these great songwriters that you've played for too, like me and, no, I'm just kidding, like Zayn and Pat, and like you're like, I feel like your standards of songwriting are very high, and you have risen to that. Like, you are such a good songwriter.
Well, thank you. I'll say two things about that. First show I played with Pat after the show, we're all sitting on the bus, and he's like, "Who all have you played for again?" And I try and like just rattle it off real quick, and he's like, "Do you only pick good songwriters? Is that your thing?" And I was like, you know, I never thought about it that way, but I think for a long time, you know, I was Brian Keene, Hayes Carl, a lot of those guys, like, it was so cool to be around them, but also incredibly, you know, I never believed enough in stuff I was doing, because it was like, "Well, that's not near good enough. Scrap it." And it took a long time to kind of get to where
you
I was
to be better.
Felt, yeah.
And you are like myself. You're incredible. I mean, like, I love your songwriting, and I know we have to go soon, but I just want to make sure everyone that checks out your solo stuff. But I love a Woman, and you, and I mean, I was
thank you.
Really good. And if you get a chance to see Michael Kelton play by himself, the story, you tell great stories, and you're very funny, and
Well, I greatly appreciate that, and it's been fun to know you this long, because as the records come out, you have become like the songwriter yourself.
Aww.
And especially
in
this last record.
Not today, Michael, not today. It's thank you.
Well,
that's nice.
I feel like, you've done so many cool things, and growing as a songwriter is such a cool part of that.
Yeah, it's fun to watch each other grow, because also what I want to know, what's next for you. I feel like you can do so many things, and are you like maybe producing or something? Like, I see you just keep going and doing.
Man, I've kind of toyed around with producing some projects lately. Mm-hmm. It's not something I want to just jump into, but I've co-produced everything that I've done, which I feel like a lot of artists can and do say that, and I question a lot of times, like, I feel comfortable saying it. But John Marlin is one of my closest friends, and we've written a bunch of songs together, and he's co-produced everything I've made, and he's ridiculously talented. But
I think it's just your, sorry, yeah, just watch your left foot. Oh no, I'm not really sure what that is.
Are we on fire?
Yeah, it might be just, I'm not sure. Guys, this is not a drill. We're on fire. Well, it's okay because we're leaving anyway. That's a carbon monoxide sensor. Yeah. Do you want to open the door just in case? I am feeling a little strange. This is all on camera. Usually that happens when somebody's leg is pushed up against the thing.
Because it can't breathe.
It's loud. Okay, well, we're doing great. Make sure you check out Michael Kelton. We're going to exit the RV slowly to the left. Unbuckle your... Nobody panic. It's fine. You have to get the baby. Thanks for... Yes, Michaela. Check out More Than Music Creations on Instagram. Buy some guitar string jewelry off the website. You guys, I'm so sorry. Kyle! Everything's fine.
It's okay, Whiskey.
Girls just want to fit in. Woman wants to stand out. Girls just say it's over at the first sign of a doubt. Girls want attention. A woman wants respect. Girls give excuses. A woman gives her best. When you stop chasing girls and you love a woman, she'll make you every bit the man you wanna be. She'll give more purpose to everything you're doing. When you stop chasing girls and you love a woman.